On this episode of Sales Burrito, we're going to talk to you about the flip side of being a sales engineer. Most of the time, we always focus on the pros of being an SE. But let's be honest, there are cons as well as that come with the job. We share our views and take on the pros and cons of being an SE on this episode of Sales Burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs. With your hosts, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
Well, not only 2020 has sucked and the elections are over, but somebody's probably kicking you out of your house. What the heck is going on? You have like boxes everywhere. Did you pissed off your wife or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, something like that. No, no, you caught me in the middle of a move, my friend. So yeah, you know, I guess, yeah, the pro is the election's over. Con is 2020 is not over yet. And yeah, things are still up in the air, but, you know, I guess it's a perfect coda for this episode today, talking about the pros and cons of this wonderful profession we call sales engineering that we both love. And, you know, I think it's just fair to do justice, right? We always talk about, you know, all the guests we've had, we've talked about all the great things that happen when you're an SE, but, you know, really want to balance out, you know, not only the pros, but the cons, and be really fair to the profession so that people are getting a fair look at kind of, you know, from at least from our view of the world, right? These are just our opinions, but really kind of what's the upside, what's the downside, and then let you figure out the balance where it falls in your spectrum of the balance for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that when I became a sales engineer, there's a fame and the glory of it, right? That first deal that you closed, you know, and you get super excited about it. But there is, I love the profession so much that sometimes I have to reflect on the negative part or the con side of it. But I've trained myself that for every negative thing that I've seen in the profession, I typically spin it in my brain to make it a positive exercise. So yeah. This is a very good episode that others can learn for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's start it off. You know, I think we should start on a high note, right? Maybe we've always talked about the pros. Let's run on the pros and kind of take our take on what's there, and we'll balance it out with a con, and then try to come with a kind of a judgment call at the end. What do you say?
All right, sounds good. Like voting system. It's like yay or nay. Good.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, for me, I think, you know, maybe the first pro and something that I just passionately love, because, you know, and I'm an outward looking focused person. I love working with, you know, different people. And one of the things you get to be as a sales engineer is you get to work with so many different types of people, right? Introverts, extroverts, you know, type A, type B personalities. And, you know, I love the challenge, not only solving, you know, the technical problem, and helping people really understand their pain and putting a solution to it, but, you know, also debugging people, if you want to call it that, really helping, you know, figure out the problem with the person and the mindset behind the person, and really, you know, helping understand why, you know, what's the why for them, I should say, you know, as part of being an SE. And that's an intangible I think you get with this job that, you know, I find something to be a high pro in my book.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, and when we were doing this episode, when you said debugging people, I asked you, what do you mean by that? Now that you've explained it that way, absolutely right. I like to look at it in a different perspective as well. So obviously my first audience is, you know, the consumer or the customer. But to your point, you're talking to channel management, you're talking to the E-suite, you're talking to product marketing, you're talking to product managers and engineers. They're going to have a different perspective of things in the realm of being a sales engineer and knowing how to be fluid in understanding what matters to them and expressing to them what you need is crucial for the position.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's this kind of leads into the next point, right? And you're never going to have the same day twice. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always said, you know, if you're bored at what you do, you should find something better to do. And I've never been bored, you know, being a sales engineer. And I think anybody who gets into this profession and has a passion with it, even to take the good days, the bad days, they're going to say at least it was never boring.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that the where I probably contrast on being a sales engineer, in my personal opinion, can be boring if you let it be. And what I mean by that is I can tell you that through all the years I've worked in the difference between solution selling and transactional selling. Transactional selling, for those that don't know what that is like, hey, it's a cookie cutter approach where you're selling the solution. It's not that you're spending a lot of effort, because you spend effort, but it's very repetitive. Once it closes, you're going to the next. Once it closes, you go to the next. Solution selling allows you to, you know, every customer is going to have different issues. They're going to have different pain when it comes to the needs for the product. And because you're looking at different characteristics and every customer is different, it definitely doesn't make it boring, because you're looking or you're finding new things every day that you're doing solution selling. So that's the only thing that I see, Dave, that it's like transactional and selling, you know, or solution selling.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I didn't think about it from that perspective, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I have always kind of been on the solution or, you know, the completely, you know, custom engineering side of the sales equation. But you're right. There are those transactional sales that, you know, working at a Verizon store as the SC selling cell phones, right? It's going to be highly transactional, and yeah, it would be repetitive. So, but again, for some people that may not be boring, but
exactly.
I think if you're doing the job right and you've found your passion and your niche in the sales engineering world, it should never be boring if you're really doing it right from a pro perspective.
Mm-hmm. I will say that one of the things that I've seen also as a pro is selling, you know, when you sell more, you get paid more, right? I think, you know, throughout the years, and, you know, I've been blessed on being an SE and training and enabling other SEs. And I always, as I'm hiring new SEs, I basically tell them, my goal is to make you a wolf in sheep clothing. My goal is to make sure that you understand what your OT is going to be in such a way that you can feed from that and be coin operated. Good sales engineers are going to be coin operated in the background. They're not gonna tell the customer that they are, but being coin operated means that you should be looking at your path, not only this quarter, but two quarters out, and find out how much money do you want to make. And that is, I hate to say it, but it's addicting, to actually say the least.
It is. I mean, and really, I look at it from a little bit different perspective. And, you know, obviously, you know, people get paid well in a lot of different technology jobs. But if you're in the corporate environment, your upside may be that bonus at the end of the year if the company does well. And
if they do a bonus,
if they do a bonus, sure. You know, but when you're in that sales driven world and you have an upside variable component, you know, a lot of sales organizations, that upside's not capped, right? So if you're highly productive and you know, you absolutely can knock the cover off the ball, I mean, the upside is really kind of, you know, the sky's the limit. And so, you know, that's one of those rewards. You may work harder, but you're going to get paid more. And some people can actually, you know, sell very efficiently and not necessarily work as hard as you would in a corporate environment. Not saying that's necessarily true, but it's possible and you can still make more money. So I think it's one of the drugs that come with this profession.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I will say another, if we're going to call it drugs or addiction, whatever it is the job of a sales engineer pays very well, extremely well, right? You know, it. But with that, right, there is a talent shortage for good SEs. Sure, you can be an SE and, you know, do a demo and you know, read a quote and validate that the quote is okay for the sales rep. But, you know, being a great sales engineer is immersing yourself into building that champion in the account, into understanding that even after the sale, your brand name is there, and you have to make sure that, you know, the customer is, you know, super happy and recommending you and recommending the services. It is an issue of supply and demand. There is not a lot of good, great sales engineers out there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, if you're good at your job, you're never out of a job in the sales world, right? And if you're not good at your job, you're looking for a different profession. But yeah, I mean, it's it is that track record, right? You build your personal brand and you typically will have, you know, a job for life, and it runs well with it, you know. Kind of builds on that previous point, you know, the Jerry Maguire, show me the money.
Show me the money. That's right.
Yeah. I'll be your agent any day, by the way.
Thank you.
You know, I think one of the flexible parts of the job that I think we've talked about in the past, and some of our guests that have come on and talked about it as well, is really, you know, you really get to own your own franchise in a lot of times when you're part of a sales engineering team or even part of a sales organization, right? You get to be in control of your own time. And that's something I think a lot of people value, and the flexibility that they get once they have had an experience, you know, not having to be in that 9-to-5 structured in the cube, you know, where you're going to have this Monday through Friday experience. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to work, you know, 60 hours a week or pull some interesting times after hours, but you have the ability to really have that flexibility to set that. And if you're really highly effective, you're really in control of your destiny, right? The whole goal is you deliver your results, and you get to determine how you deliver those results, and how you manage that time is really kind of on your own perspective. And in most organizations I worked at and organizations I've led the SEs really kind of had that franchise mentality. And when you empower them to do that, you know, that's something that they typically value is definitely a pro of the job.
Well, one of the things, you know, to add to that point, right, you know, it's the work hard, play hard mentality, right? I've been in situations as a sales engineer where I knew that I needed to do a presentation for next morning at 8 a.m. to be able to present to a bunch of customers. And it's a solution design or something of that nature. That night before, I may have been out with customers, either have entertaining for dinner or even dealing with situations of my personal family life, right? But what I love about being a sales engineer is that, yeah, you're choosing to actually do those activities, but eventually you have to pay up and make sure that you're meeting that 8 o'clock time slot, right? So that's where the working hours come in that are different. But I rather do that and be control of my time than being locked into a 9-to-5 type of spectrum. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where do we have next? I think, you know, one of the ones I think it kind of just pops up in my head is the whole fact that you can be, you know, proactive in most cases, right? When you're owning your own franchises and setting your own time, you really are dictating how that day is built and run. So, you know, the fact that you can get ahead and understand, you know, kind of the sales cycle and be, you know, on the front end of it, you know, I think is a great thing, right? Where, you know, reactive, where you're sitting in the queue waiting for work to come in, getting handed to you and letting you have and be scheduled by somebody else. I think it kind of combinations and with the building and control of your own time. But, you know, that the fact that you can drive proactivity in most of your engagement, I think is a pro, at least in my book.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the way that I talk to a lot of sales engineers is this: hey, 70 to 80% of your time, you should be in front of customers or prospects or alliances or value added resellers. That other 20%, don't stay twiddling your thumbs. Make sure that you're doing professional skills training or technical skill training. So be proactive. Don't be caught off guard by needing to actually do a skill set that, you know, at the last minute and not being prepared for it. So, you know, proactivity is key for a great sales engineer.
Yeah. It's a sign of a highly effective sales engineer for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. What about Dave, I'm sure you hear this a lot. What about travel and entertainment? You know, do you see that as a pro or as a con?
You know, I think it really comes from your lens. I mean, I know people who absolutely love to see the world, love to travel, and, you know, they see it as an upside value of the job. And, you know, I'd probably put myself in that category. I mean, I will say there is a point where travel can get to a point where it probably falls into the con, where if you live 300 out of the 365 days a year out of a suitcase and, you know, some different room every night of the week and some on the weekends, it gets to be a little old. But, you know, the spice of life and seeing kind of the dynamic of the world and traveling the world. I mean, I've put hundreds of thousands of miles, you know, on my luggage, and, you know, I would definitely say it's been more of a pro than a con. And, you know, the flip side of that obviously is, you know, when you're traveling, you're typically out, entertaining as well. And for some people, that entertainment component that comes with the T&E, as they would say on your expense report, is also kind of a pro for some people, right? You know, I know that some people like to golf, some people like to enjoy fine restaurants and having the ability to entertain a customer and, you know, build that camaraderie outside of the typical sales meeting. Is a pro. Obviously, sometimes those are also pretty interesting events. You know, I've done some pretty interesting things in the world and saw some pretty cool things just because of the fact that, you know, it's my job required me to be there on the entertainment side of the equation. And obviously, I had to travel to do it.
I agree with you. Obviously, travel and entertainment is key. Love that, done it for many years. Definitely the con comes in when you have a family and they don't see you often, and you truly have to balance your time. You have to, you know, if you continue to do that night after night after night after night, it's going to break somewhere in your family. So it is okay, you know, like for example, what I do personally is like, I'll tell my family I'm 2 weeks off, 1 week at home. So ensuring that, maybe I'm leaving on a Monday night, coming back on a Thursday night for 2 weeks, and then on the third week, 100% I'm staying home.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it comes on the work-life balance component of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I really think that's kind of probably our tipping point here in this episode, right? I mean, that's, all upsides there for most of them, some of them downsides, but, you know, let's take a look at the, you know, I wouldn't say the negative side, but some of the cons that maybe just come with the job and, you know, really give people kind of a fair shake of the downside here. So, you know, I think the first one that I've heard from engineers and, you know, I experienced earlier in my career is when you get put into that, you know, kind of that pool SE mentality and you're not necessarily getting to own your franchise anymore and you're just being a resource or a cog in the wheel. And, you know, your success or your upside is, you know, not necessarily completely in your control, and your time isn't necessarily, you know, yours to kind of dictate. So again, the flip side of the pros that we just kind of listed upstream, but yeah, I think that sometimes can get to see it be a con for some people. And that's one of the reasons why some people burn out when they get stuck in that I'm just a pooled resource and, you know, I'm not in control of my destiny side of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's different type of pools. I mean, I will say to your point, right, if you're a pool where you're just a resource there, absolutely, right? There is, you know, countless of times that I've seen SEs being burned out or not. There's other type of pools, like for example, you know, like a 30% contribution pool. Like in other words, hey, you know, if you look at your OTE, the variable side of your OTE, and if you don't know what an OTE, go back into one of our videos to kind of understand that or podcast. They may split that variable, you know, maybe it's a 70-30 overall in the OTE, but that 30% splits into like its own 30-70, right? Where that 30% is it's a group contribution, right? So in those pools, sometimes it works. The challenge with those pools is that some SEs are going to be good SEs, others are going to be great, and sometimes the great SEs are the ones that are basically carrying the weight of the entire team, right?
The driftwood problem.
And that's a different problem itself because they're like, well, what have, you know, they feel that they're carrying the weight while it should be a team sport.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The next one, I think, you know, just something personal. I mean, it doesn't happen to everybody, but, you know, you're going to come across somebody in your selling life cycle where you just don't get along with the people. But, you know, the problem with being an SE is you have to be able to adapt to every situation. And even if you don't like the person or you have a bad experience with them, you still have to, you know, be amicable and professional and sell with them. So sometimes you're just going to have to talk to people, you know, you frankly just don't like. And and for some people, they just can't get past that. And I've seen that break down and cause issues both internally and externally. But it's just one of those things that it comes with the job that you have to take and kind of deal with.
I'll never forget a story. It'll be a quick story where, you know, one of my very good friends, Mark Thompson, and I had a new district manager come in. And I met with that district manager in Atlanta. And the guy basically said, look, guys, I'm going to be here for a long period of time or for a short period of time. I want to be the area vice president of this organization. So you just need to work with whatever I say that you need to do. And that's it. And I mean, it was so blunt that I was like, I don't know if I want to work with this guy. And sure enough, we had to work with the guy, but rest assured that he did not last it for long. And he did not become an area vice president either. So, but you have to kind of know how to operate with that system. Either you go around them or you go over them. But obviously, my goal is to make sure that I'm meeting the revenue that I need to bring for the organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we talked about hours, right? And the, you know, working hours. And yes, one of the cons is often working long hours as a sales engineer if you do not know how to manage your time. I can tell you that the biggest issue, and I think I've talked about this in previous shows, that I personally have dealing with time was the subject of assumptions. I mean, just coming up with a sizing of a solution and not having all the parameters or the variables for that solution, that basically takes a lot of your time trying to figure out what you should think to do. And I know that it sounds basic, assumptions, but I can tell you that for me, that was inertia. Like time was taking forever for doing different things. Or I cannot do a presentation if I don't have the numbers. Or I cannot do this if I don't have the numbers. You have to go and break that mental mode and make sure that just put some numbers in so you can have forward movement. What do you think?
Yeah, no. I think, definitely you got to be able, to balance your time. I mean, the longer work side of the equation is going to be there. And, time management is something that people just absolutely have to kind of learn to deal with. At the same time, they have to learn how to deal with probably the hardest thing to deal with in sales, right? And that's rejection. And, for some people, this is a con. I think people can't hear, they don't like to hear no. And, it's just the nature of sales. And it's something you have to get thick skin and be able to deal with is, you're going to have those times where you're going to lose the deal to the incumbent, or, you're just not going to come across and the value sell right in that situation. And sometimes people just aren't going to like your personality, and you got to have that thick skin and deal with that rejection. And it's hard for some people, but that's kind of one of the cons I think people have to kind of just take with all the good that comes with the role of being an SE.
And you can't take it personal either. You may find that individual in a supermarket. You may find them in a gas station. You can't take it personally and say, I'm never going to talk to that guy again or that gal again, right? I will say another con that I've seen, right? I think that as a generalist, you have to be a jack of all trades and a master of none, right? So you have to be able to actually move the ball forward when you're going into an opportunity. But if you're surrounded by experts with that account that know the subject perhaps better than you, that could be challenging because you're trying to be at the same level of par that those individuals are, particularly being your prospect, and they can clearly call your bluff if you don't know enough, right? I will say that on a similar variant, right? Specialists, while you can call them to actually help you, will be, sometimes will be pigeonholed on deep focus areas where they're going to help you. But these individuals can be overlay specialists that don't have ball control into the account. So for instance, you may be talking about, a relational database, for example, and you may know just a little bit to be dangerous, but you know that you're surrounded by 10 resources that know it more in the customer side. Well, if you bring the overlays in, the overlay SE itself doesn't feel that he has control of how to move the opportunity because you end up being that core or generalist, right? You basically are the quarterback of the opportunity. So there's a way to balance things if the specialist and the SE are in constant communications, but often that doesn't happen. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely there. I also think of it kind of, I guess if I'm looking at it from the cons lens, right? Sometimes when you're a generalist, if you want to get into other parts of the technology and maybe in your industry, not necessarily in your company, you're going to know a little bit about it, but you're not going to necessarily be deep in it. So sometimes making that jump from one side to the other, people have to make that decision if they want to go specialize and focus, and then they'll go down that path. And then, the flip side, I've worked in specialist teams for a long time, but if you're in that specialist role and it's a technology that's now kind of aging out, you know, you're at the disadvantage of sometimes maybe having to retool yourself to pick up something else, where, you know, generalists, because they have such broad exposure to many different types of technology and they're just kind of tapped with already being kind of an inch deep and a mile wide, they have a little bit more flexibility and sometimes pivoting. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be a downside, right? I definitely get the account control perspective of it, where, you know, as a specialist working on an overlay team, you know, the fact that you're still helping win the deal but not necessarily control the deal or going to get as much upside of the deal is something that's there you have to take into the equation. But, you know, hopefully you've negotiated your compensation right to be able to kind of balance that out.
Well said. I will say that, you know, and I can think of other two things, but I can tell you one of them that is crucial for me is that at some point being a sales engineer and doing everything all the time, the same thing over and over and over, can be monotonous, right? The technology may change by the demo, you know, but the product stay the same. So what I mean by that is that if the product that you're selling is the same product and hasn't changed, if you continue to do the same demo over and over and over, sometimes you'll be forced to do it because, hey, it's always worked. I typically tend to change my demos in such a way that I can make a bigger impact to, you know, not only to see if I made a bigger impact by closing the sale and getting the customer to wanting more, but also it helps me to, you know, develop a different skill and not be bored into the profession.
Yeah. I think that's the thing I think was, when you were just talking about that, it just popped in my mind. I think people who are in those companies that, you know, are kind of monolithic or, I don't want to say legacy, but, you know, are stuck doing the same thing, or they've got 40,000 products, but you're responsible for three of them. And, you know, you're only three you ever work on of those three, and, you know, it can get a little monotonous. And, you know, if you're not being challenged sometimes, you know, it'll burn out on you. So, you know, I do see it as a con if you're not getting a chance to kind of be exposed to the next wave or having a chance to take and pick up new take and on technology, it can be a little monotonous and it can be a con for sure.
I agree.
And then I think, you know, maybe to close this out, I mean, one of the things that ties this all together that, you know, is that service after the sale, but sometimes it can be a con is, you know, you become that endless conduit to support, right?
And oh yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know how to properly disengage from your customers' problems and making sure you're bringing in the right support apparatus and making sure you sold the right professional services and support services to engage that, you know, because you're that trusted advisor that came in, you're always going to be the person they call and depend upon. And you know, that's an additional stressor when you're still trying to sell and trying to keep customers happy. By all means, you still want to take their call and make sure that, you know, they're being serviced, but you can't be the end-all be-all point of a support conduit. And that sometimes just becomes a negative. And depending on the size of your organization, sometimes you're expected to do that. And that really can be a burnout and a con on the SE.
I think sometimes, you know, sales engineers are our own worst enemy. And what I mean by that is that we know the right thing to do for a prospect. If we know in a campaign that they're, you know, they're challenging us, they're asking too many questions, they're unsure, but you get them going to the next hurdle, you know, make sure you're putting on that quote, training, enablement, you know, professional services, you know, dedicated, you know, customer experience managers. Make sure that that's there so they understand this is the reason why you need the product. Sometimes a customer is going to tell you, no, I don't need that. That's too expensive, but it's on them. Ultimately, if they expect you to actually be their support guide, you have to politely say, hey, you know, with all the respect, I don't want to be that bottleneck between solving your problem and the next issue. So let's go through the proper channel. So don't be bullied or intimidated on putting additional services that you know that's going to help your customer and you don't be support.
Yeah, that's right. Spin it into a positive. So let's call the ball here. You know, having looked at kind of the two sides of the coin, you're flipping it. Is it going to land up heads or tails for you? Heads has been a positive experience. Cons, did we change your view of the world, or you're still excited to be a sales engineer at the end of this? Thinking back through the kind of the topic.
I can tell you that I will not change it for a thing. I still remember November of 2009 when I made the decision. So this is the year that I, or the month that I made the decision of becoming a sales engineer. I regret that I didn't do it 10 years early from 2009.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I mean, you know, if I'm stacking stuff on the scale, yeah, you know, I'd probably need, you know, 50 to 60 more negatives before I could get over any one of the positives that have been there. And, you know, I'm trying to give a fair and balanced view of the world here and treat the topic fairly. But yeah, it's really the greatest job in the world. If you're passionate about it and you enjoy the thrill, the excitement of chasing the deal and you're technically minded, you know, by all means, I think, you know, the pros will definitely always outweigh the cons, but we'd love to hear what you think. You know, our social media channels are open. You know, we really appreciated everybody's feedback so far. We enjoyed last week's episode of answering your questions, and hopefully this will give you some more thought-provoking topics to consider. So again, you know, we always drop these episodes weekly on a Wednesday, available at salesburrito.com and in all your major favorite podcasting platforms. Please feel free to engage with us on any social media at Sales Burrito. And until next week, this has been Enrique and Dave saying, keep the knowledge flowing. And I'm screwing it up already.
Hold on. Keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.
I'll get it one of these weeks. All right, take it easy, everybody.
Bye. Have a good day.
We hope you've enjoyed the Sales Burrito Show. To subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.